Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. The Scungili Man. In a lot of ways, I've been getting a lot of feedback on it, talking about Slenderman this week.
Almost too much feedback, I must say. A scary amount of feedback, I think.
And to be honest, I'm not that I was surprised because of simply just the folklore behind Scungili Man and how so many, now that people are connecting the dots.
The folklore is you finding a squid and onion bowl of soup on the street. That's the folklore.
It's getting bigger than this. It's getting bigger than that. It's getting bigger than you. I don't know what's truth or what's not anymore.
What are you talking about?
I know last night,
yeah,
I sat again, intrusive thoughts, wondering, Scungili Man, when is he coming?
Sure.
Have I done this? Have I created? Have I unleashed this? And then people are already showing me. I got one letter immediately describing the fact that they had already had people having dreams.
I think they are just against the Italian people.
No.
And that is, you're going to get a lot of responses from Brooklyn, from
Listen
Queens, being like, I've seen the Scungili Man. He always steals my pizza.
All right, I got this letter here. Yes. No, this is huge.
Sure.
This was huge. I reminded a listener of a story that they believed that was suppressed in their memory.
Yeah,
them and their brothers, they were playing in their backyard.
We do have to start the show.
No, you must hear this.
Okay.
You must hear this. Yes, before we even start the show.
Uh-huh.
They must have been 6 or 7 at the time, which would have made their two brothers around 8 and 13. This is highly detailed.
Yeah.
So as they were playing, they heard their dogs go absolutely nuts, like thinking there might be some kind of wild animal in the thick woods in between ours and our neighbor's house. We scanned the tree line. After a few minutes, we went back to play, but then we heard rustling in the tree. Now, it was difficult to hear since the dogs on the other side of the tree hadn't shut up yet, but we could hear these branches kind of parted, and we saw, wait till you see this. He said that he saw that what was making the noise. There stood what looked like a man. To my recollection, to this person's recollection, he was about the average height of a man, totally perfect height for what a man should be. He was about 5'7", and I looked down at his, he had these great sneaks on these kick-ass J's, these beautiful, the Air Jordan 5, the great retros.
Wow.
Such beautiful suede on those, high quality. I said, I noticed that his face was made out of some kind of Italian dish.
Whoa.
It was made of squid.
Wow.
And onions. And the smell alone, because that's how you could tell, like the skunk ape, the smell comes
first. It's the smell.
The smell alone made all three of us just throw up on the spot. We immediately ran for the house. And as we ran, we could hear the creature in non-mistakable Italian. It's going, Scungele.
All
as they
right,
ran
everyone.
Into the house.
Okay, great. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone.
This is huge.
I am Ben with Henry, the creator of Scungili Man.
I did create it.
It was real.
I
psychic
shared
cryptid.
A collective unconscious moment with everyone.
I would love, the only way that we can solve or debunk Scungili Man? Is to find the person who lost that wonderful, wonderful squid, wonderful onion soup. Somewhere, someplace around California, someone is looking for their soup. And we need to find them and get that soup back to them. And that's the only way that we can kill Scungili Man once and for all.
Honestly, I don't know if we can kill him. Because also, what will the kid do? What will the kids do?
What do you mean? The kids just found out about this a week ago when their parents were listening to this episode in their car, and the kids really wanted to listen to Justin Bieber, but their parents were like, no, it's my car, my rules. When you get your own car, you can listen to whoever you want. But Henry, you need to go to a restaurant, and one day you will again. And then I think all of this excess energy that you have that you're taking and funneling into the world in, dare I say, a dangerously negative way.
How is this negative?
Because this guy does is break into your home. What does he do to the children? You haven't even talked about that.
I don't know.
We don't know.
What is it? I'm going to say it to you. It's the truth.
Yeah, there's real news this week. There is real news.
The truth is neutral, Kissel. All right, there
is
no qualitative nature.
That's why we're here right now in the dumbest timeline in the history of timelines.
Yes.
The truth
shows how fragile truth is and how the people that hold truth to be sacred need to work harder.
But we do have massive news this week. Henry Zebrowski, he's going to put on his MUFON investigator hat. Although now MUFON, I think the hat's gone.
It's gone.
What's the other company?
It's gone.
The Henry Zebrowski UFO company hat.
The untitled Henry Zebrowski project featuring UFOs.
I know how much you love lanyards. It is strange, and I'm happy you're not a cop. So, UFO disclosure. Oh, yeah. So you can smell it more than the onions coming from a squingili soup. It is everywhere. It's becoming mainstream. The UFO, we recently had a whole bunch of new documents released. And the Pentagon, turns out they're willing and ready to talk.
Which makes me suspicious.
Well, that is the ultimate irony. As soon as anything becomes official, it no longer can be real in the mind of many conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
But we talk about reparations, and we can have that conversation a lot when it comes to...
Do we talk about reparations a lot, Kissel? Do you and I? I'll give reparations.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, in this case, I think the federal government needs to provide reparations of mental health help to every single ufologist that has been demonized, criticized, damn near euthanized because of their ideas. And now the Pentagon is just going to say, hey, you were all right. Meanwhile, those people already lost their family.
That's why there's a lot of bitterness in the ufological world. If they really wanted to help the ufological world, they could weaponize sex workers and send them to the homes of these lonely, lonely men.
Oh, sure.
Just to help them. Just give them a leg up. Just to talk. A lot of them just want to talk.
So you want to do what Dr. Evil did in Austin Powers, and you want to get fembots? Is that your solution?
I think fembots would help a lot of the problems in this country.
I actually agree. I totally agree. Definitely better than handing someone a Pepsi.
That is, what a current reference.
Thank you, Kendall. Yeah, it is a current reference. Yeah, it is.
Let's get to the truth. Let's get to the truth. We've bollygagged enough. Is that a word?
I don't know.
So my week started with our friend Sonia Century, who is a hairdresser, model. She's done so much of the creative stuff in the creative world. And she was working on set for Unsolved Mysteries with Doug Sackman, friend who helped create Trollville. They both worked on Trollville. They were both a part of the art department for Unsolved Mysteries. And in the middle of shooting this, and as we know, the Unsolved Mysteries had an episode come out that was all UFOs, and it was great. It's up into Berkshires. Episode 4 was the best episode of the series, even though I do love all of the... I just miss my UFOs and my Unsolved Mysteries.
I miss Robert Stack.
And they do a little... They show his face.
I know.
It's nice. But Sonia said that while they were shooting, she shot video of a UFO. And, you know, we were having a socially distanced hangout in Kissel's backyard. And we're sitting there being like, what are you talking about? She showed me this video, and it is like a cartoon UFO. I have never seen. I'm talking about full pie plate flying saucer that they saw, that everyone was like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But it was just like, if I saw it, my knees were above my hips.
Yeah,
I was so happy.
It was almost as if we were back in Glasgow and someone was playing fiddle music and we looked down and all three of us were dancing just instinctively. This UFO footage that I saw as well, it was pretty cool. It was super dope. And that was the beginning of the week. And then as the week sort of went on, it was everywhere. And all of a sudden, on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Much like a scungeel, how it lies.
I don't want to hear about it.
Now, New York Times has, in December 2017, they were the first ones to come out with the newly released, the leaked tic-tac video, the gimbal video of these supposed UAPs that the Pentagon, at the time was leaked, and they since went on to claim in April of this year to say that these are actual official videos of what we are calling unidentified aerial phenomena, these UAPs, and we saw that's where the classic tic-tac video came out. Now what we're seeing here is a slow rollout of new news. In December 2017, when that article was first came out in New York Times, they revealed a program called ATIP, which was a UAP investigative branch of the Pentagon, somewhere hid deep inside the U.S. Navy, that supposedly was in operation from 2007 to 2012, which and then it was, quote unquote, shut down.
Henry, do I have to ask this question that's on the minds of every single person listening, man, woman, and child? Did they call it ATIP? Because they're not giving us all the information. They're not giving us all the goods. They're just giving us the tip.
I wish that they had that level of creativity, but they don't.
Okay.
They just seriously don't. But what they said, so they said this thing, this program was over. And then last month, what we see, Marco Rubio, who's a part of the Council for Senate Intelligence, was this bullshit that you know what he's on.
Yeah, Rubio, he's in the National Intelligence Committee. So he knows that's national intelligence. So you know it's full of stuff. But you know, the one interesting thing when it comes to them, they're all talking about this, not necessarily from the ufology perspective, not necessarily from like the beep, boop, bop, boop, click, click, clack, click aliens. They're like, yo, China's got all of this stuff. China's got all these new weapons and all of this new space.
There's
stuff.
So much stuff, Kissel. There's so much stuff here. Okay. It's just the beginning, because is that a smoke screen for a double smoke screen of the United States has a UFO sitting in a hangar somewhere and they're trying to crack the secret of what's inside that UFO versus these other countries, and they can't let them know how far they are and they're all positioning against each other. But let me try to roll this out.
Okay, roll this out.
So the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program was supposedly ended in 2012. Under Senator Harry Reid, it was given these $22 million that basically went to Robert Bigelow and his program called BAS, which I forget what it stands for.
Okay, now Bobby Bigelow, this man is very famous. We've talked about him before, but isn't he a little controversial as well?
It's not controversial. He was just a man, and he made billions of dollars in the budget hotel industry. He tried to create space hotels. It didn't pan out, but he was also super into the paranormal.
Okay.
So he purchased famous UFO hotspot Skinwalker Ranch. He has several other ranches that are within the Utah area that are supposed to be these hotspots of UFO material. He was trying to create a tangible, like essentially a zoo for Bigfoot / Chupacabra / Wendigo / fucking skinwalkers / UFOs / ghosts. He was trying to create a place, essentially what they were doing in Beetlejuice, what Robert Goulet wanted to do.
Yeah.
So all that being said, what the United States government came out with, this New York Times article that came out, I want to say it was like 3 days ago.
I believe it was July 23rd.
Yes. The headline is "No Longer in Shadows, Pentagon's UFO Unit Will Make Some Findings Public" by Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Keene. Now, they are the ones that have been kind of following up on the story for the last couple of years.
Right.
What they are saying, what this hinted towards, which is it's just a further like revealing of, okay, so ATIP was one program. They said they stopped it. What they're saying is that they gave a nod to a budgetary hearing to another inner pentagram program that would now is just called the UAP Task Force. And we have no clue what that is. There are several people who say that the ATIP never stopped. And it's people like Eric Davis, who is essentially Ray Stantz from Ghostbusters, if it wasn't played by somebody who had the charisma like Dan Aykroyd.
The charisma of Dan Aykroyd. I love it.
He doesn't have that spark, but he's got the mind. He's got the mind.
Yes, he does.
He thinks he's very important. They went and they had a meeting in the Pentagon, quote unquote, they had a meeting where they were all trying to suss out who's got these, what they are calling meta materials. So the U.S. government is now coming forward and saying, okay, we are taking whatever this is serious. And Harry Reid was misquoted in the original article saying, which started the whole flurry of all the activity.
Yes.
Harry Reid saying that we had a downed UFO and that when we have, now that we have it, we need to show the world this material and what we got out of it. And he immediately put the brakes on it, even though all of the articles already started coming out saying, you misquoted me. I said, if we do have something like right. a crashed UFO, we should be more open about our results.
So that's a pretty big if there. And this has been, and Harry Reid's sort of by the government standpoint, Harry Reid has been on this for a minute. He was there in 2007 when the program was begun. That was the Defense Intelligence Agency. That's it was the DIA that had that program.
Robert Bigelow had his own company called NIDS that he created on Skinwalker Ranch. When NIDS, all horrible names, all these are horrible names.
Hold on. How is it like? It seems like somehow a slur against children who died young. I don't know why. What is wrong with this?
I think you could call the fat man with a MUFON lanyard a NID. NIDS was one group that disbanded, but the DID and the DIA saw things that were going on inside of Skinwalker Ranch they were really interested in, so they created a program called OSAP with okay. Bigelow as well. And that's where Harry Reid got involved, and then it all kind of morphed into ATIP with Luis Elizondo, and we see his leak is what led to the December 2017 release of that article. Now, right. the main crux of all of this is there is an inner debate within the ufological world between scientists and kooks alike about the concept of, does the U.S. government specifically have a downed UFO or have some form of what they call these metamaterials, right? Which right. is this bullshit that comes off of UFOs. Now, this goes back from the 50s. In the 50s, in the NICAP talked about this thing called drops or falls from UFOs. And they said, this is from the 1950s, these things have been floating around for fucking 70 years.
Yeah, damn, all right.
In 1950s, they said that when UFOs would pass over, they would see the experience chunks of metal would fall off. And when these things would split, as they commonly do, or explode, as they've been described, they would shower the ground, what they said was very thin, wire-like filament that people have kept for all over the years. And now Art wow. Bell famously had a collection of them called Art's Parts. Now, TTSA has said, up until now, yes, it does yeah. sound like his that fucking like dildo on, store.
Art's Parts. Art's Come Parts. On in, what is it? Oh, it's your cock again, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, we know. That seems to be the only part, Art, that you're showing us ever here at Art's Parts, but thank you.
The truth is out there, but it's also right here in my pocket.
So basically, so you got stuff falling from the sky, so now I can make a Joe Dirt reference, because of course Joe Dirt, he thought he had himself some massive military-grade weapon. Turns out it was just a bunch of dookie. Are we talking about nothing more than a bunch of crap here, or is there something significant falling from these skies?
We don't know. We don't know. People like Jeremy Corbel, who created the new Bob Lazar documentary, who's been working with George yeah. Knapp, he says that he got a hold of some of this metamaterial that appears to just be friggin' like aluminum, straight up like aluminum folded in weird ways. All these things where they are not necessarily exotic material, but okay. they're made in different ways than we would make them. But it's this kind of middle world of what the hell are we looking at?
I have a question when it comes to Harry Reid. I want to read this quote, and I want you to answer from the UFO perspective. Does Harry Reid, is he helping in all of this? Because he seems almost to be an unwilling participant as well. Like, everyone who may actually know something about UFOs, they never want to be involved in the story. It's always the people who are totally tangentially tied to Marco Rubio's second niece because they have a nephew that maybe went to lunch with her one time at a seventh grade party. Like, the people who are really involved always seem to sort of back away when
well, it's
pressure.
Because the UFO world's incredibly toxic and destroys everybody who touches it.
Ah, that makes sense. So this is what Harry Reid had to say about crashes and objects of an unknown origin. He says, this is after he studied all of this and whatnot. He says, after looking into this, I came to the conclusion that there were reports, some were substantive, some not so substantive, that there were actual materials that the government and the private sector had in their possession. That is a straight up long quote from Harry Reid. He believes that it's possible that we have our own little Tony Stark out there. And if the private, what, Henry, what is scarier to you? The private class, the private sector, because you know that's the billionaire class,
yes,
or the government having these materials globally, Chinese government, Russian government. What's scarier to you, private sector ownership or public sector?
The problem is them getting together.
Ah.
That's the problem, is them being on the same team. It's because they are now, that's kind of where the tension is, right? Where people are really, where people are getting uneasy, especially with the government involvement, is their whole mission in this entire thing, the government side, the Pentagon, is using this whole thing as potential R&D, right? All they want is a weapon. Where the private sector, if you, somebody like Robert Bigelow, who seems to just be mostly fueled by curiosity, where he is trying to, but it's these kind of connectitious, but I, what's weird is these kind of misquotes and these kind of dancing around this idea,
right,
that it seems like what is going to come out, like if, and so if this UAP task force comes about, which it seems like it's going to, these are the people that are from all different branches of the government, and their jobs are to take a look at all of the sightings that people in the military have seen, all of these weird shit that they may have found that they may have to buy from the private sector. They
sure
may have to, or they have already incorporated it, or they already have it. What they're going to do is they're looking for some form of, they got to find a reason why they're giving them money.
Well, and we have a lot of different people talking here. This astrophysicist, this dude named Eric W. Davis, he's also referenced in the New York Times article.
This is the guy that is Ray Stantz with no charm.
Yeah, he was talking in 2007 when he worked at the program. He said that the materials that he had researched, he concluded we could not have made them ourselves.
Where is it at, though?
And then
where is
he
it
also,
fucking at?
And then he's also the one who got the who had the terms off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. He says the Defense Department agency has those, and that sort of off-world vehicle sort of went viral, and that was sort of what people were seeing all over the internet.
This has been around since 1945. People have been saying that they have some sort of downcraft. But what if, and I don't know, it just seems to be they're dancing around the point of we have something and we don't know what it is. And that I think that all of this is going to end up that the big old UFO disclosure is going to kind of be a fart. It's going to kind of come out
really?
Of like, okay, we'll tell you what we know. We don't know anything. Like, we don't know what the fuck it is. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know why it's here. It doesn't seem to be directly fucking with us, but it is there. And it goes into our most private airspace.
I am going to say that I think you're not appreciating the power of a good fart quite enough. You got You're gassy. You're gassy.
I know.
And the country is gassy. We've been gassy for 70 years.
We need some gas X.
We need some gas X. We need to be poked. We need to be floating all around the theater and land right in our seat so we can watch the spectacle ahead of us. Henry, do you think that we are now living in a world that already has UFO technology? I mean, we talk about like the rise of Wi-Fi and all of that
stuff. They say that, but I think that that's another weird... That's something else. I don't think that that is true. I think that the stuff that we are saying, nobody can do whatever that Tic Tac in the video did. Nobody can do it. They can't stop on a dime. It kills everybody. They can't move against the wind. There's no propulsion system. They run cold. We don't know what that shit is. We don't know what
it is. I got a DM from a listener saying that her brother was on one of those ships and they saw something mysterious in the sky. Then an alarm went off and everyone was forced to go back in. She said that they told him what it was, but he did not tell her what it was. I don't know what to make of any of that stuff.
They are, because they're just so common, that they now have behavior that is almost like you can describe it. You can be like, the way the Tic Tac video, when you listen to Fravor talk about the guy who spotted Tic Tac, and we're just like, it bounced back and forth like it was one of those little like balls, one of those super balls, and they just go bing, 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 bing. But this is not the first time that we've gotten close to the fucking to disclosure, quote unquote. The UFOtrail.blogspot.com talks about how this, they were talking about disclosure being imminent in 1958 after NICAP did a whole presentation to the US government. So we're not in unprecedented times when it comes to UFOs, but I think that it's going to be a lot for people to handle if they, it's just this deeper game. Because then there's a whole conspiracy worldview that the entire UFO storyline from 1945, like all of the bullshit has been right. staged by the CIA to cover for experimental airplanes flying in the sky, which seems to be a lot.
Of course. Yeah.
Like, because of how many people think, but I mean, I just don't know where we're at. I just wonder, like, I've never been so certain in my life, truly, that there is somewhere in a hangar, a thing that they throw people at, like Bob Lazar. They take Bob Lazar, who to everybody who's a kook, that he was this kind of this dude that was outside of the box, this weirdo fucking guy that he put a jet fucking engine on a Honda and they saw him and they've had this thing sitting in the hangar for so long. And then every once in a while, they like, maybe this creative guy, he'll know what to do. We'll bring him in, throw him in front of the technology, see if anything comes out of it. When nothing does, then they fucking cut him loose. They scrub him and now everybody just calls him completely insane.
Right. So the Senate Intelligence Committee, again, it has voted to require U.S. intelligence agencies and the Defense Department to compile a detailed public analysis of all the data they've collected. At the very least, that's very cool. But as we know, when the federal government releases documents, there's a lot of, what's the key word? Redactions. A lot of things are redacted.
It's going to be redacted. And there's one note that is very interesting. George Knapp wrote an article about one of the weird things that got declassified, which seems to be one of the main goals of whatever BAS was and whatever the new UAP task force is. It's a human-centered study. Apparently on Skinwalker Ranch, when it was taken over by BAS, the people that were working the actual like security and IT right. and all of these people doing not like UFO or paranormal research. Like
I mean, this is a ranch, right? So there has to be ranch hands, yes. people who are just there doing everyday yes. odd jobs.
Maintenance, all that kind of bullshit. They had to get piss tests and they had to get MRIs on a regular basis. They were being studied. Basically, BAS revealed to them that they themselves were being studied as human detectors of the phenomena, which sounded innocent.
Okay.
But what George Knapp is now saying.
That sounded innocent to you? That well, sounded innocent. That to me, I would be like, what was that again? Oh, I'm a human, I'm right. a human like, test okay. tube baby and I'm 38 years old?
They blew it over. They basically acted like it wasn't a big deal. So they're like, no, we're just doing this. It's kind of due diligent, quote unquote, control group, blah, yeah,
my,
blah, blah.
My buddy also is a gardener and he just says he's never gotten piss tested or he doesn't need an MRI. I mean, like, it doesn't really
make
sense.
He's not a good enough gardener. You're too good of a gardener. I got to see where the good gardening comes from. But what they are saying is that actually, there seems to be some evidence that people who come in contact with these things get sick. And they are actually testing humans to see our reactions to these objects as a sort of like, can we retrobuild the sickness and use that as a weapon?
Is this also compiling like a COVID conspiracy as well?
No,
then?
It's like
this
cancer
is, this
sick.
This is different. This is like cancer sick.
They don't know what it is. It's this thing where they're starting to say like, we are actually going to be doing more studying of the humans involved in this shit than even the UFOs themselves. And it's becoming a localized problem. I don't know what the hell is going to happen over the next year.
Right.
I don't think a UFO is going to show up on the White House lawn, but we might see what their version of disclosure is, which is a big old mommy and daddy don't know what's wrong, which we wonder what is that going to do to society? I think for the most part, people won't care because we're now so used to a government that doesn't work that like maybe that's fine.
You know, I agree with you in the sense that we have been waiting for so long. We've been edged so long when it comes to UFOs, sci-fi. I think that people are ready. There are some people who are just going to go batshit insane and completely freak out. But I think surprisingly enough, a lot of people won't care. I looked on Twitter and I hate, you know me. Okay, I'm not going to go down that ranty rabbit hole. But I thought maybe Twitter would matter. Maybe this would be a big hashtag trending. Not really big at all. Like people at the same time still, they don't. They're so obsessed with their own lives, which I understand you got to do what you got to do to live. but I don't know if it's going to be that big of a deal to people.
Well, for a lot of people, I mean, it doesn't affect your day-to-day necessarily unless you're a person who's constantly questioning reality. And then by then, you're mostly only one of those people if you've been smoking rosin-filled joints to try to go to sleep, but instead you start watching a movie in the back of your fucking eyelids, a movie you don't want to see.
Buddy, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to go to sleep. I tried to do that yesterday, but then I just ended up watching the Danny Trejo documentary, which was very interesting, and I love Danny Trejo.
I do love Danny Trejo. I also think the I'll Be Gone in the Dark documentary is not helping me in any way, shape, or form sleep because he's specifically just doing, it's just, it's, it, I does feel like at night we're not like, okay, time to watch our rape show. This is fun.
Yay.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast, your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You bet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love the, they love what BarkBox brings. Because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, I fight to set my child up for success, which is why, as I sit and read Carmi and Wendy Doon, trying to explain to them the concepts of the savior complex not working, doubling back on itself, the concept of what does it mean to be a living God? What are those limitations? What are those expectations? And honestly, I know they just want chicken. But there are kids out there that need this type of direct help. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them understand and master topics in a fun way. Not unlike me, reading children, Dune Messiah, getting to about 365, seeing where they're at. See if they understand anything. There's no more grading these worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. You can't even believe it! You don't want to make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Last Podcast on the Left listeners could get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/left. Visit IXL.com/left to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So the Senate Intelligence Committee, I'll just read this one quote here from them. This is the committee. This is what it states in its bill. It says the committee remains concerned that there is no unified, comprehensive process within the federal government for collecting and analyzing intelligence on unidentified aerial phenomenon. So they are, at the very least, reminding me a bit of post 9/11, obviously completely different circumstances, but in the sense that they are now going to start speaking to one another as agencies. And I mean, obviously, we saw the CIA and the FBI when they work together, they can get their man.
That's the idea, right? Yeah. But we'll see what comes out of it, because in the end, they are very carefully wording everything.
Everyone except for Donald Trump is wording everything properly.
Yes, exactly.
Trump is just, anyway, that's
he's a fucking others. Monster. Yeah. But everybody else is saying this stuff around, talking about like either unmanned vehicles, unknown aeronautics, like these very specific terms that they're, the main thrust of this is to see if these things come from North Korea, China, or Russia, right? That's right. the main idea, because there's a lot of people talking about it, because like same thing, like, that's their out anyway, right? Because you see how the Roswell story turned into it was a ship filled with surgically altered kids with Down syndrome that the Russians sent to us to destroy us with UFO fever, and that the Rendlesham Forest was a Russian prank, some psyop where they put LSD into the food and everybody saw all this shit and they're playing all these games, which I won't unacknowledged, because the Russians are tricksters, right?
Sure,
they like to fuck with us mentally.
Well, acid, the latter is much better than the former, involving Down syndrome children that obviously were killed by the Russians in order to do I don't even know what.
What did it
to
do?
The United, I don't
it
know.
Just the only thing it did was gave Arthur C. Clarke a career. You know what I mean? It helped Isaac Asimov. Is that the problem? It created sci-fi fever. I think it helped us. It helped us go to the moon.
I don't know.
It truly helped us to go to the moon. So whatever they did it. It was the opposite.
Well, thank you. And what a trip it was to that moon. We loved hanging out there. And as you can tell, we loved it so much, we never went back.
Don't got to go. We already did everything.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be. The fact that we even, that's what I'm talking about lack of interest. There, no matter what, space is still an abstract idea in the minds of people fortunate enough to think about it. Like most people, you don't got the time. You got a lot of shit you got to do. You got to pay these bills. As everybody knows, the rat race is very real. They keep us as rats because they see us as rats.
We are forced to be inside of the capitalist structured reality that money is real.
But we haven't even gone back to the moon, and we know you can get there. Like, we can't even, and everyone's
there's no titties on the moon. There's no oil on the moon.
You can bring the titties to the moon.
Honestly, I would love to meet the brave first topless woman on the moon. How brave would that woman be? You know who I vote for as my candidate for that?
Who?
Nadia White.
Nadia White. I think that would be wonderful. Check out Nadia White. Go to her OnlyFans. You know, these adult film stars, they're struggling like everybody else. All they want you to do, you can go pay them some money, tip them, have a good time, for crying out loud.
Help them, man. Just help a little bit, you know, and you jerk off and you get a thank you, and it's kind of nice.
It is kind of nice. So, Christopher Mellon. Speaking of melons, all right. He's a former top intelligence.
We're just the best. We're so good at radio.
So good.
We're so good at this.
He is a former top Pentagon intelligence officer, official. And when it comes to all the disclosure and stuff, Mr. Mellon says it further legitimizes the issue. He talks about the research on the topic. He says that in itself is extremely important. People can talk about it without, quote, fear of embarrassment, which I think is actually the biggest thing that's happening, though, is you can talk about it, which that's the first step. Like, we are just getting in. That's why it's a tip, because now you can talk about it without having to, like, go through divorce, like without having to go.
I mean, you can still go through a divorce. Sure. Let's not hold you back.
No, absolutely. If you want to go through the divorce, I say go have the divorce, go find an alien, and hopefully love finds you there. But that is the most important thing in many ways, is that now, as a society, as a culture, This is a mainstream conversation. I believe MSNBC, Fox, and CNN, not that those represent anything that's actually true or factual, but that is, air quotes, mainstream. We are talking about this without being considered, you know, a total and utter quack. But Henry, the flip side of that is this cultural appropriation
it
for
is.
Your
You're
people?
Right. You are right.
That's
you
my
are right.
I'm sorry.
This is paranormal racism is what they're doing. They are taking the hell. They are, because that's what happened, right? That's why people are so mad at Tom DeLonge and Luis Elizondo. They're so mad because
Tom DeLonge is just, he is just mildly handsome. That's why they're mad.
But he's got the lip ring, I think, still. He's got tat sleeves. Luis Elizondo looking like he's on the cover of GQ in the New York Times with the good lighting, the grayscale behind him.
I sent you that picture being like, they're trying to discredit this entire article by this guy. And you're like, no, man. Like, that's a cool looking guy. He's a handsome guy. And I'm like, what is going on?
He's handsome. I thought he looked handsome. I thought he looked good.
I'm not necessarily going to take all the advice about international, let alone global or interspace affairs.
And much love to the memory of Stan Friedman. But Stan Friedman dressed as if Humpty Dumpty was a civics professor. Okay?
Yeah. And Humpty Dumpty would have been that's great.
Has some style, right? They're trying to do this. But that's why they're mad,
he dresses like I do.
They're all. I mean, then I take it back. I fucking retract my statement. They are taking the spotlight, which makes a lot of the old school true believers really, really upset. Richard Dolan's upset. Stephen Greer's upset because they're taking it from them. They've been ostracized for years, but now everybody and their mother is talking about it. Hot women on Twitter are talking about it. They're like, all of this stuff's happening, and they are getting, they got left in the dust. Because in the end, TTSA is more than anything a production company. They are just making television shows and they're making content.
Right.
They have a hold of some of these meta materials.
Right.
They're not doing anything super significant with it. But this new UAP task force, I don't know where the bitterness comes from, because that's what we've been looking for all these years.
What about that disgusting attempt to make fiction a reality when it comes to like the Space Force logo? Which is obviously the Star Trek logo.
Like, we are in the middle of this is a fucking chaos magic ritual that we have been a part of for a long time. We have a TV man president. We're in a future dystopia. We're in the beginning credit scroll of a zombie apocalypse film right now. And so I wonder, like, it's this other kind of mental trap where are we just trying to fulfill a sci-fi movie's version of life?
Well, that definitely seems like it is the case. I mean, again, that is like not a lie. Go check out the Space Force, which is they're just reallocating funds from the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force. And
they're just renaming it. They gave it a new logo. Then Steve Carell and all of them get to make some funny little fucking cute television show about how cute it is. And so they all get to do it and everybody gets to make money.
Well, don't forget, Henry, Stephen Colbert goes there. So
I know that he goes there.
He goes there.
Find the truth for yourself and know that a part of this is they're trying to bottle the magic of reality is more complicated than we think it is. I think they're going to have a really hard time pinning down a physical nature to the quote unquote proof. I think they're going to have a really hard time. Like, even if they have a whole craft, I don't think that was ever the point. It was never the point was to try to figure out like how these things work. We are just we don't know what we're in. Well, we don't know what our circumstances are. We just don't. We don't. It just shows more and more how little we know about the world around us.
As the NBA is currently in preseason, for lack of a better term, heading into the playoffs, I feel like our preseason for this was Fox in the early 90s having alien autopsy caught on camera and all of those things. It was perhaps preparing us because I'm ready to see the real thing, because everyone watched that on Fox. That was one of the biggest shows ever. And obviously,
I thought it was fucking real as fuck. I loved it. I loved that special.
So just lastly, going back to Mr. Mellon, he says if they don't respond, of course, in reference to the government, if they don't respond to something like this, what we do, what do we have an intelligence community for? We are talking dozens of incidents in restricted military airspace over years. So the military, it doesn't matter to them if this thing is from Mars, from Venus, or from Russia. They want to know what's happening over military airspace. And at the very least, they are going to try to find out the truth. And maybe that is, maybe the truth is indeed that of fiction. It is out of this world.
Whoa!
Could it be? All right. Well, we will keep you updated on everything going on in the UFO world. This is, again, just the beginning. We are just having a conversation about the military opening up investigations into what they have. We haven't even talked about what they have. It's all speculation. And we'll see. I mean, maybe...
We'll
see. Maybe it gets blown up. Maybe everything is just like, all right, here it is. But of course, knowing the way that governments work, I don't think it'll be that transparent. Although the private sector, I could also see Elon Musk tweeting a picture of him with a new alien.
But that's the reason. That's what's weird, because I expect it from Elon Musk. I expect it from the private sector. I want them to leak it. But that's why I wonder, maybe they never had it to begin with. Maybe they had something, and then as soon as they had something, it's like the knock, 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 G-Man's at the door. It's like they knew already that where the shit was, because they've been watching it. Like, watch right. It crash, watch where it goes. So, who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete Sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey!
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
But I will. This is not the only story this week. Obviously, there's many, many stories. This was just my entire mind
was taken over by
the story. There was a serial killer at Fort Hood, apparently around Fort Hood. We don't know. Three different soldiers have been found. Dead soldiers have been found around this Texas Army base within a month. So three different people. There was Private Major Morta was found unresponsive July 17th in vicinity of Stillhouse Hollow Lake. Don't know the cause of death. There was another woman that was found dead, which was Fort Hood soldier Gregory Morales was found dead. And then there was Vanessa Gillian. That was on July 1st, who was another soldier, specialist Vanessa Gillian, was found dead. And they don't know what the hell is going on. They're trying to say that they don't know that if there's a connection or not. But members of Congress joined advocates for women Tuesday to continue to call for changes in the way the military handles sexual abuse and harassment following the death of Gillian, whom investigators believe was killed and dismembered by someone stationed at the same base in Fort Hood.
Fort Hood does not have the best track record. All right, well, so we will, we'll keep you updated on all the true crime news next week. I think aliens were the thing to do today. Also in Wisconsin, just on a different note, a man was hoarding his own coins for 20 years, Jim Holton, and he brought him to a bank to help the coin shortage that evidently we have in the country. So there you go. Nice guy.
Why
there.
Do we still have coins?
I don't know. So you can hear somebody coming from behind you who no, has but that's a bunch why we of should coins?
Have- We should have mandatory bells. But
I
why?
Agree.
Why do we have coins?
Well, I mean, it's important.
Are coins just garbage?
No, you need. I actually like coin money. You go to the casino, they give you the 50-cent coin. That's
those
a very
are not
cool.
coins. Those are chips. That's
no,
not coin.
No,
that's
no,
different.
They give you the coin. No, you don't know, Henry. They give you the coin for 50 cents because they don't got 50-cent chips.
That's what I'm saying. Why have any cents? Why have any of that?
Well, it's very important because then you can have rounding errors and then you can put it into your wallet and you can have a savings account that like rounds up, you know, kind
of
fun
of
like that.
Get rid of all that.
I don't think that that's a good idea because
I'm going to be like a 3-year-old to you. I'm going to be like whenever I'm going to be the replacement for whatever your son could have been. Why?
Well, because then everything is going to be priced. All it's going to go up. If it's $1.50 now, they're just going to raise it to $2. They never raise it. They never lower it to $1.
Make money worthless.
You are indeed a child in this situation. Jim Holton, he turned in 2 decades of saved coins to the bank in Wauwatosa.
This is real news. Yeah, the other big story I found was teenage boy dies from bubonic plague after eating marmot.
Okay, so you want to be careful when eating marmot. Well, speaking of marmots, let's just do Hero of the Week. All right, this Hero of the Week is an unidentified woman. I have no idea who she is, but she is my savior. Little Jerry Seinfeld, of course, the Dachshund Chihuahua, which I look after and love. he loves to escape. I don't know why. He has no, like, he has everything at the house.
Yeah, everything, truly, his life is a precious gem.
It's insane.
He does not want for anything in this life.
Never. But he finds an opportunity to escape, and he will. I had a cable guy come over, humble brag, I now have internet, don't at me. And he moved the gate. And of course, Jerry, he's like, oh shit, this guy moved the gate. He doesn't know there's a perp in town. There's a con around, and I'm about to dip out of this prison. So Jerry runs away. I don't notice he's missing for a little bit because I just assumed he would be here. Long story short, we're frantically looking. I get a phone call from the animal hospital. A woman has returned Jerry. He's got a little chip. I get the phone call. I did not like him chipped in the first place because it is a sign of the beast. But in the case of dogs, it's good.
It's important. He's not being made to vote.
I know he's not like the factory workers in that Wisconsin town who wanted to get their food quicker at lunch, who were forced to chip themselves in between their thumb and their pointer fingers. I'm sure that that does not feel good now, and maybe they've all been laid off as well. Mm-hmm. So that's just a reminder of how horrible corporate overlords can act. Nonetheless, this person was not horrible at all. She had Jerry. She delivered him 8 miles away to this animal hospital, to this animal clinic. And I just want to thank her for being such a good Samaritan. I gave her some money and she didn't even want it. But I said, you know what? You deserve it. And so she's this hero. She's this week's hero of the week. If you know her, tell her. I don't know her name. That's the whole story. That's all I know about her, is that she's incredible. And if you have ever returned a dog or a cat, you're also a hero of the week. It's to anyone who has ever helped anyone return any kind of animal whatsoever, including a child. You are hero of the week.
This is very wholesome. And it is nice when someone just doesn't steal the animal because Jerry's so cute.
Dude, I swear to God. So he would run away in New York. By the way, I don't know what's going on with my old apartment in New York, but my boy just showed me a picture. The windows are all smashed in now.
Finally, it's like the beast was gone and everyone celebrated and went through your thing. It's like when Scrooge dies and they just go and they steal all his stuff.
I was the only one protecting that house. I just want to make that clear. For 15 years. That was in the family, the LPN family, and I was the last line of defense, and now the kids are running roughshod all over it.
656 Metropolitan.
Go
still
save
there.
It.
Go visit whoever's there.
No one's there. The windows are all busted out.
All right. Well, I got some letters.
All right, let's do letters.
So here we go. First of all, great, a lot of responses on the Vaughn deer.
Oh, yes.
People talking about these big, bloody deer. Right, that were the people saw, which is, I think, is interesting. But there, I also got a good explanation for him. I got a couple more sightings of these Vaughn deer. So whoever sent the first letter, you are not alone.
Cool.
Here we go. Let it go. You remember that? Frozen. Horrible movie.
Oh, I didn't see Frozen.
I try to watch it on a plane and shut it off.
Well, that's good. You're not. So, yeah, you're a grown ass man with a mustache. You can't
I'm trying
watch
to
Frozen
connect more to my inner child.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have watched that as a child.
No, I
we
like
didn't
things,
watch. I didn't, no, I didn't
wanted
watch
to
those.
See breasts get split open when I was a child.
Yeah, we used to just watch like Meatballs and Porky's, which are extremely problematic films.
Here we go. I live in Western PA, and like most of Appalachia, we get the weird not deer. I don't know what they are other than not deer. I've had two sightings of not deer. One was close up, and the other was driving. The close-up sighting was deeply fucked.
Hold on a
since
second.
It was
the,
brought-
deer, the deer was driving.
No. The close-up sighting was deeply fucked since it was broad daylight and both my sister and I saw it at the same time and saw the same not deer, and this was less than a yard away. First, not deer are bigger than a common white-tailed deer, which is fairly a solidly large animal to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Second, if you get close to a white-tail, which you could do, you could just see in their eyes they have like half a brain cell. Not deer just feel smarter than deer. The not deer I saw close up was about twice as big as a normal deer and the wrong color, sort of a mossy green and gray. The joints were all messed up and it didn't move like a deer. The way the eyes were set in the head were also deeply wrong, like deer have eyes set towards the sides of their head. This did not. The antlers were also far larger and tangled with something red that dragged. It just stalked by my sister and I about a yard away from us, walking out of a rhododendron bush in the yard.
Now, oh, yes, I always love that rhododendron bush.
Rhododendron bush. Yeah, yes. That's what they call me in my college days. I make up jokes. How many jokes do I have to make up in a show?
Oh, probably at least 13, 14 of them.
This is an incredibly large rhododendron bush. It's like 40 feet high and it's several pines beside it. It's the border against a road. I didn't think it crossed the road. It just came out of the rhododendron, stalked past us further into the backyard and went back into the woods.
Damn, cool.
They also saw some shit. They also saw they saw one cross the road as well. So that was one. This other bloody deer cryptid. When my dad was stationed in Germany, and I would frequently, we would frequently go camping with friends or by myself at campsites in the Black Forest region.
Oh, love the Black Forest.
Apparently it's nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
I'd love to go.
I'll take you.
Oh, no.
we'll go to one of those castles, you know.
Honestly, that does sound fun. We drink a lot of mead.
Oh, that would be fun.
With big sausages. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of spooky stuff out there in the woods, but usually it chalked it up to the nerve of being by myself at night in the woods.
Sure.
One night I crawled out of my tent to take a shit. I was about a half mile walk to the campsite's restroom facility, so I grabbed my small shovel and baby wipes and headed further into the trees.
Wait a second.
Yes, you wipe your asshole and you got to bury your shit.
All right. I don't know.
It's important to bury your shit so people just don't step in it.
No, I know. Well, but you're in the middle of the Black Forest. Maybe it's more so the deer don't find it, or the not deer, or, well, I'm sure we'll get to something.
No, it's extra dark in there. It's Black Forest. You're going to step into shit. And next thing you know, you made some Thulean upset, some ancient Aryan, and then the Nazis start again?
Yeah, okay, it's possible.
Now, after digging my hole for shit, I tugged my flashlight under my chin and did my favorite outdoor pooping position, the sloth. They said, Google how a sloth poops. It's the best shit that you could take. This is advice from our listener.
Great.
As I was baby wiping and burying the fruits of my labor, I heard the sound of something large moving through the forest. There aren't a lot of dangerous animals in this part of Germany, but wolves, small bears, and deer aren't uncommon, though they rarely come close to humans, and I didn't want to take a chance. So I turned off my flashlight, crouched low to the ground, and got as still as I could. The creature came down a game trail I could barely see in the moonlight, but what I saw looked much like a deer, but taller than an elk with a broader frame. The skin looked shrunken, almost like a mummy's, against a clearly defined skeleton that had the same long curving horns the other listener described. Where my experience differs is that there was a man-like creature riding on the deer thing's back. And it is similarly long and a mummified look to it. I could clearly see the creature's rib cage and pelvis, and its face was like a skull with skin stretched over it. It had smaller curved horns on its head, but could have been some sort of headdress, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Very weird.
Very weird indeed.
One good example of it. There was one good maybe explanation for it.
Okay.
There's a thing called chronic wasting disease that deer can get, or zombie deer disease.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get more paranormal with it. This is just extremely sad.
Yes.
Yes, but this is very common.
Emaciation, eye degeneration. They don't know what it is. Abnormal behavior, which could lead to some of the other characteristics noted by the listener. The strange shaped antlers could just be normal antlers with the points broken off due to lack of coordination or aggressiveness with other deer. The bloodiness can be explained away similarly, either this boy got into a fight with another buck and gored its opponent, or it got a taste for flesh and was eating meat. They occasionally turn carnivorous deer, and they eat birds, small animals. Depends on how much brain damage they have.
Yeah, chronic wasting disease in Wisconsin. We heard about it all the time. It's very dangerous, and that's a sad conclusion to the not deer. If it really is, just
something
that
it says is that it doesn't explain them being built huge.
Okay.
That is a thing that does not normally happen.
Yeah.
Is the big ones and the big antlers is something that also it's something with chronic wasting disease would not have. And finally, the fact that this deer has been seen by several folks over several years would be impossible with CWD, as this disease unfortunately kills its host within a year or two of symptoms appearing. So who knows?
All right, there it is. Listener emails, the Von Deer. This is shocking stuff. We're constantly my brain is getting expanded, yet interestingly enough, dumber, but we are learning more. Isn't that strange?
That is my entire life. My entire life is just jamming information into my head that makes my sleep worse and my relationships more tenuous.
Absolutely stressed. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. The truth is being exposed. Where is it? Nobody knows, but you can find it yourself. Be cautiously optimistic and also be skeptical, but also open-minded.
Can we feel comfort with dissonance? And know there are things that are going to make, they're not going to make entire, like, lock-proof sense. Some things are going to be just beyond your fingertips. And they, I guess, and there's that Robert Browning quote, if doth man does not reach for the heavens admits, what is the purpose of the heavens?
Absolutely. I feel the same way about the chicken roller dog at 7-Eleven, just behind the glass. You want to get there, you see it. But of course, you can't. But at the end of the day, thank God you couldn't.
You can get it. You can just buy it.
Yeah, but it's not good to do that. So you don't want to do that. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. You got to live every day. Look towards the skies.
Sure.
Quit looking at your feet. Look at the skies. You never know what you're going to see. You never know what you're going to, if you're going to see something in the skies that makes your neighbors afraid to speak to you.
That's perfect.
Right? And you got to laugh. Laugh at the idea of anybody saying,
the aliens, why don't they just show up and make all the, everybody be happy with each other?
It's being like, well, aliens got fucking shit to do on their own days, all right?
Right.
They got to live their own lives, so why don't you live your life to yourself?
Yes, absolutely. They've got to live, chortle, and love.
And you got to laugh. You got to laugh. You got to live. And you gotta love knowing that the only truth that's important is the truth that's down inside of your heart.
I'm very happy you said heart, not pants.
But I am growing physically. Yeah.
Well, you look great to me, buddy. All right, everyone. Oh, also, we have to. We'll be remiss if we don't mention the merch on behalf of our...
Buy the merch.
Technically, our manager is doing his job by reminding us constantly to mention the merch, so he is doing his job.
Move
the
merch.
And now we are doing our job. So
we
now,
gotta move this merch. We gotta talk about this merch. Buy the merch. Lastpodcastmerch.com. It's not even for us. It's great. We got
great
a fan
merch.
Shirt out there. We're gonna do more of those.
Yeah, and you can wear. We don't have pants yet, so you technically, if you only wear our merch, you will be committing a felony because we do have underwear though.
We are, well, that's a surprise, Kissel.
Oh, that's coming. Okay, very interesting.
Who knows how far along that will be?
Who knows?
And I don't know if we'll ever leave our homes again.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing as well as you possibly can. We'll keep on trucking and get through this like we always do. Keep on going. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
And hail me. If you have a quarter.
You want a quarter?
Yep.
Yeah, I got a quarter. I got a tip for you.
Yeah, why don't you see if it fits right here in my little coin slot? Yeah, no. See what happens. Let's see what kind of tricks come out. Huh?
It's just okay. Thank you.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins. As soon as I wake up, and a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch.
but I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LastPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LastPod.